Harper and Harper Audio present The Ancients' Game by Lonnie Crittenden. Performed by Angel Peen. For Papa. Long ago, spiders glowed. They lurked behind their webs and lit the night to lure their prey. The flies mistook the spiders for the moon. Translation, date unknown, author unknown, untitled. How rich the land, how kind the people. They glitter in the heat and dance in the setting sun. Soleil, the old, dances too. Obsede, the new, says they will do. Missives to the Lidonche Empire's pillar first, approximately second of basalt. One swallowed. One. When Kellen lived in the name house, she took things apart. She started small. Picture books by the thread, puzzle toys by the screws, used her teeth as scissors and flatheads, which proved more effective after her adult incisors came in. When she grew older, bigger, so did the things she destroyed. Telephones, telegraphs, once the first and only automi her name house could afford. She always put them back together, though. Never in the way they were before, but always back together. But curious people didn't belong in Quiverton, especially loud-mouthed little girls without family names. It was a place of routine, a predictable veal of mostly predictable people. Considering that, Rubon, the village train station's ticket agent, should have been delighted to see the now 16-year-old Kellen on her way out. No problem, he should have said after she'd told him she and Edgar had misplaced their tickets. We're just glad to get rid of you. She should have known better. On that cloudy afternoon, while Rubon sat dry and warm behind his cabin desk, pretending not to acknowledge the one rare break in Quiverton's routine, rain pounded against the station's crooked iron roof and leaked onto Kellen's head. Each drip was like the tick of a broken clock's longest hand and a bitter reminder of reality. This is ridiculous, Kellen banged against the window, her palm rattling the glass in its wooden frame. She kept her other hand in her pocket, tight around a folded flyer, but not so tight she'd ruin it, just tight enough to remind her of everything at stake. We bought them last month. The train will be here in, what, 2 minutes?
I guess you should have brought them, huh?
Rubon took a quick bite of stale vending machine cake. It crunched in a way cakes should never crunch, a crumb of icing landing on the still damp patch of toddler vomit on his shirt.
Sorry, we don't keep receipts.
I'm not asking for a receipt. I'm asking for you to be slightly less of a hammerhead than usual.
A month is a long while, sweetheart.
Don't call me that.
And I ain't gonna remember one man out of the hundreds.
Hardly 100 folk live here.
That passed through. Now, you get me my 10 corones, or you head on.
Entirely too satisfied, he cracked his back and waved away the crates and the cart near the tracks.
And take that garbage with you.
Rubon used to be one of the village kids who pushed small deuce into the grass and stole their monthly allowance. Kellen hadn't liked Rubon when he was just another miner's musty child. And she didn't like him as a man who stank as badly at 20 as he had at 12. Kellen wasn't so little anymore. She was still chubby and still didn't take proper care of her hair, but the name house was 3 years behind her. Before anger got the better of her, Kellen pulled out her flyer and hurried toward the tracks. Since it first arrived at their doorstep less than a month ago, she'd folded and refolded the flyer in her pocket so many times that the faces of the world's finest makers had cracked and faded. Coffee-stained halos topping their heads. Gaspar Vandales, master.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?